you're listening to audio from the West End Community Church in McGregor, Manitoba.
It seems like at some point in every pastor's tenure in a church, he has to quote Robert Frost's poem, "The Road Less Taken." So today's that day. Two roads diverged in the yellow wood. This is actually one of my favorite poems, by the way. And sorry I could not travel both, and be one traveler long I stood and looked down one as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth. Then took the other and as just as fair and having perhaps the better claim because it was grassy and wanted wear. Though as for that, the passing there had worn them really about the same. And both that morning equally lay in leaves, no step had trodden black. Oh, I kept the first for another day. Yet knowing how way leads on to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh, somewhere ages and ages hence, two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by. And that has made all the difference. This morning I want to talk a little bit about, actually, I marvel. Thanks, man. Just at what Alicia shared, because really what she was sharing with us was just this idea of standing at a crossroads. Spiritually speaking, just having these decisions that have to be made or having these options before you and you're not sure where to go, and you prefer one over the other, but you can feel a tug in one direction or the other. We've all faced those kinds of things, and that's really what I want to focus in on this. That's what I want to talk about. I want to spend a bit more time this morning in Jeremiah chapter 6. I promised at the outset of this series that when we look at the book of Jeremiah, that we were going to do this from a bird's eye kind of view. Like we were going to kind of take chunks at a time. The first time we went from chapter 1 to 3, and then last week, we went kind of from chapter 3 to 6. And if we continue that, we would probably be on to chapter 12. No, I'm going to just stop for a little bit. We're going to do actually the exact opposite of taking the bird's eye view today. We're going to look at just one verse. Just one verse. I just got a sense that we needed to park ourselves here this week as I was reading through the first part of Jeremiah. I want to focus in on Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16, and I want to read that for you this morning. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Jeremiah in the Old Testament, chapter 6, and I want to read for you just this one verse, and then we'll pray, and then we'll get going on from there. So Jeremiah chapter 6, it'll be on the screen too if you don't have your Bibles with you. Jeremiah 6 and 16, it says, "Thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look, and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is, and walk in it and find rest for your souls." So as I've already mentioned this morning, all of us are going to face moments in life where critical decisions have to be made. And where those critical decisions have to be made, there's more than one choice to make. We all face those decisions, those crossroads, if you will. Making the right decision when you're at a crossroads can mean the kind of rest for your souls that Jeremiah is talking about here. But on the other hand, making wrong decisions when you're at a crossroads in life can either have short-term or long-term implications, ramifications that depend on the seriousness of the matter that is at hand. So it's important that when we make decisions wisely and we seek the wisdom of the Lord, it's important that we do that when we're at a crossroads in our life. So it's important that we understand exactly what God desires of us when we do stand at the crossroads, when we stand at those places where we have to make critical decisions about our lives, spiritually speaking. So that's where we want to go today. And I think it's important. What I want to do is I want to take this verse, Jeremiah 6:16, and I want to look at it from a practical perspective. So that, and what I mean by that is I want to take and see what kind of application we can make from this verse. What is God saying, not just to the people of Israel, but what is he saying to us here in Canada in 2022? It's important that we understand that, practically speaking. And that's kind of going to be the bulk of our time that we have left. But I think it's important, and I hope that you remember that I say this often, that we have to look at things within context, because this was not specifically written to us. Yes, by extension, it's in the Word of God and it is for us. But this was originally written to a group of people that were in crisis. This was written to the people of Judah in the time of Jeremiah, and they were facing some pretty serious times ahead. The people of Judah were at a crossroads. That's what they were. That's why Jeremiah uses that word here in verse 16. It's figurative language. They were at a critical point of decision. That's what Jeremiah says here. He says, thus says the Lord, stand by the roads. That's in the ESV and the NIV. I believe it does say crossroads. The choice before them was quite simple. There were two choices, really. The choice before them was whether they were going to turn from their idolatry, their rebellion against God, or they were going to stay the course and suffer the consequences. Those were the two choices that they had. So God lays out some wisdom for them here in Jeremiah 6, verse 16, and he urges them to make the right decision. He gives them counsel from above, and he tells them that if they are going to make the right decision and choose the right path, they are going to have rest for the soul. That's the message in verse 16. Stand by the roads, look and ask for the ancient paths and where the good way is, and walk in it. And if you do that, you're going to find rest for your souls. But unfortunately, the part of verse 16 that I didn't read says that the people actually responded right away. Did you see that? Stand by the roads, look, ask for the ancient paths where the good way is, and walk in it and find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. We will not walk. We will not do this. We hear what you are asking, but we're not going to do it. They outright refused to walk in the wisdom and the counsel of God that they might have rest for their souls. And so Jeremiah continues on in verse 17. I know I said we're just going to look at one verse, but I can't help myself. Verse 17 says, I set watchmen over you, saying, pay attention to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not pay attention. It's almost, they're almost like the people in Malachi. You know, they're kind of childish. No, we're not going to pay attention.
you know, please pay attention. No, I'm not going to do it. Verse 18, therefore hear, O nations, and know, O congregation, what will happen to them. So in other words, here in verse 17 and 18, God is referring to the prophets as watchmen. Okay, that's why he uses that language. So God sent prophets to warn the people to sound the alarm. And again, verse 17 says, we're not going to do it. We're not going to pay attention. We're not going to, I think the NIV says, we're not going to listen. So not only does God give them wisdom on how they should choose the right path, but he also gives them warnings in advance of what's going to happen if they don't choose the right path. So they didn't receive the wisdom of God, they didn't heed the warning of God, and as a result, they brought disaster upon themselves in the form of the Babylonian army. And a further description of that is laid out in the following verses. Look at verse 19. Verse 19 says, "Hear, O earth, behold, I am bringing disaster upon this people, the fruit of their devices, as a result of their choices, because they have not paid attention to my words, and as for my law, they have rejected it." And then skip down to verse 22. "Thus says the Lord, behold, a people is coming from the north country." Remember this? They're swooping down from the north. "A great nation is stirring from the furthest parts of the earth. They will lay hold on bow and javelin. They are cruel and have no mercy. The sound of them is like a roaring sea. They ride on horses, set in array as a man for battle against you, O daughter of Zion." So this people, the people of Judah, have a choice. They can repent or they can stay the course. They can choose one or the other, and their choice is, we will not walk in it. We will not pay attention. We will not listen. We don't care what you say. And the people brought this on themselves. They brought the Babylonians down on their heads themselves, all because they rejected the wisdom and the warnings of God. So that is the historical background for the verse that we shared this morning, verse 16 of chapter 6. Now I want you to look at verse 16 from a practical standpoint. Let's rise up a little bit, 30,000 feet or so, and let's ask the broader question. And the broader question is this: what do you do when you're at a crossroads in your life? What do you do when you have a critical decision to make, spiritually speaking? All of us will, from time to time, have some critical decisions that can impact our lives in big or small ways. And sometimes that choice that we make is going to be clear and obvious. And other times the choice is not going to be as clear. It's not going to be as easy to make the decision while still trying to discern the will of God. Because sometimes when we do that, I don't know if you've ever felt this, but when you think about decisions that you have to make that could affect your life physically, emotionally, spiritually, and you have a decision to make and you are considering the will of God, sometimes you're worried, well, what if I make the decision and I'm outside the will of God? I don't know if you think that way, but sometimes decisions like that can be painful. They can be paralyzing. We are moved to inaction because we just can't make the mental leap, the spiritual leap in our heads and in our hearts. So the question that we have to ask ourselves is, what do we do when we are at a crossroads? Well, we're in luck, because I think contained here in verse 16 is some practical wisdom from God. It's practical wisdom when we find ourselves at a crossroads to help us make right decisions so that we can find rest for our souls. Doesn't that sound good? How many of us could use a little rest for your soul? I mean, I'm in. I would like that.
None of you raised your hands. I'm the only one, but that's all. That's okay. Not a participating kind of church. I get that. Don't want to be too Pentecostal or anything like that. How many of you are ready to feel that kind of rest? I mean, all of us, we all live in this high stress, high pace kind of world, don't we? Life can get busy. Life can get cluttered. And one of the things that infringes upon that rest for our souls is when we have to make these critical decisions, when we come to the crossroads. So I think it's good to look at this verse from a practical standpoint, how we can glean some wisdom from above when we're standing at the crossroads of life, so that we can have God's wisdom and find rest. So let's take a look at verse 16 again. And let me just highlight four things really quick that I think God's saying to us about how to find wisdom during the different crossroads of our life. There's four directives, four commands. I sort of alliterated later on, and I put it in the title of the message, I think, Commands for the Crossroads. In my sermon, I called them directives. You can call them whatever you want, but here's the advice. This is advice not from me. It's from the Lord through the mouth of Jeremiah. This is what God was telling the people of Judah, and he's telling you by extension. It's this. The first one that I want to highlight, it just comes out in the verbs in the verse. Verse 16 says, "Thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is, and walk in it and find rest for your souls." So the first verse, the first word that I want you to see here is stand. God is telling us that when we're at a crossroads, the first thing that we need to do is stand. And in your mind, you're saying, thanks, Captain Obvious. I know that we should stand at a crossroads. That's what you do when you're deciding. But I recognize that that sounds incredibly self-explanatory, but please hear this, and this is important. Don't dismiss this. Standing is not running. Standing is not walking. Standing is not sitting. Standing is being still. And it is holding your position right where you are. The Hebrew word for stand that is used here in Jeremiah is the word amad. And amad simply means this: to abide, or to endure, or to remain. It has the connotation of a certain steadfastness, or even better, it has this idea of immovability, being unhurried. And so when you tie that all together, amad is a warning to us about rushing into something. God is saying, stand. Stay there. Don't move for a minute. When you read the Bible, there's never a sense that Jesus, when you read the Gospels, when he's here on earth, you never get a sense that he's in a hurry. He's never hurried. He's deliberate. He's disciplined. And we need to learn that for ourselves, I think. We need to learn to be still sometimes. And there's examples in the Bible of people who needed to learn that as well. Think about Abraham. You know, God in the Abrahamic covenant said, "I will make you a great nation, Abraham." He didn't have any children. And so Abraham and his wife Sarah, they lived with this promise for years, for decades, and they still didn't have a child. And God promised that Abraham was going to have a son, and that he was going to have a child of promise, and his descendants were going to be as numerous as the sand on the seashore. And God said just to wait, that one day he and Sarah were going to have a baby. But the baby never came. And so they decided to hurry things along. And we know the story that Sarah suggested that Abraham sleep with her maidservant Hagar. And he did indeed do exactly that. And out of that plan, Ishmael was born. Or, what, in other words, what we call today the Middle East conflict. Because really, that's where it started.
Arabs and Jews at each other's throats. It started with Abraham, Sarah, Hagar, and Ishmael. What we're seeing today in the Middle East is all because Abraham decided to take matters into his own hands. Abraham thought he was going to help God, but God doesn't need our help. Now, I am not saying that when you stand at a crossroads, the decision that you make may have the implication of starting a war. I'm not saying that. Please hear me on that. But sometimes God just wants us to stand and to wait for him. Think about Moses. Moses was raised in the court of Pharaoh, and he had been saved from the Nile River by Pharaoh's daughter, and he was a child of privilege, but he knew that he was a Jew. He knew that he was a Hebrew, and when he saw his fellow Hebrews being mistreated as slaves, I don't know what went through his mind when he attacked that Egyptian and ultimately killed him. Did he think that he was just going to kill all the Egyptians one by one? I'm not sure. But as a result of his action, he had to go on the run for 40 years. I wonder if that was a delay in God's plan. I don't know. I guess we'll have to find out when we get to heaven. He had to live in his life in the wilderness of Midian for 40 years. Moses was God's deliverer for the Hebrew people. He knew he was. But he prematurely acted and took matters into his own hands. Jonah, another great example. You can outline Jonah chapter 1, running away from God. Chapter 2, running to God. Chapter 3, running ahead of God, getting bitter with God, right? And, I mean, there's all these times where there's so many examples of these places where God is just saying, just stand. There's a lot of other examples, but here's the point. Many of us tend to rush ahead of God and think that we're doing God a favor when in reality, God just wants us to be still. Don't run, don't walk, just stand. That's the first directive here. David said in Psalm 37, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. Standing still, hear this, standing still is not inaction. Standing still is not inaction. We sometimes think that if we're not doing something, that we're not making progress, that is useless, but that's not the case. Standing still is not an action, not for a believer. It's a plan of action because you're waiting on the Lord for the next step. So don't be afraid just to stand still and wait. We need to learn the art of waiting. Isaiah 64 verse 4 says, from of old no one has heard or perceived by the ear, no eye has seen a God besides you who acts on those who wait for him. What an awesome verse. I mean, everything in today's world is just instant. I believe that our desire to have everything, that's the reason why the drive-thru was invented. There are so many things that we used to have to wait for. Do you remember cameras? We used to have to load film in the back and snap it shut and roll, you got to kind of wind it up and then hope that it was good. And you wouldn't know until you were finished the whole entire film. Some of you are looking at me going, film? What's film? And it's true, we did. And we used to have like, you remember those flash cubes on, they were like four of them, and you just plopped them on the top of your camera, and you would take pictures. You'd take like one or two pictures, and then you put the camera away for a while because it cost like $8,000 to develop your pictures. And then you'd take it out. You'd have like four Christmases on one roll of film. You had to wait. Nowadays, you just selfies and all that stuff. Telephones. I asked my niece Emma yesterday, did she know what a rotary dial telephone was? She goes, is that one of those? And I said, yeah, it's one of those. And then she said, I said, do you know how to use it? Oh, no. She said, rotary dial telephones, cassette tapes. You had to wait, fast forward. My 1980 Honda Civic had a stereo in it with just fast forward. So you had to put the tape in, fast forward, and then flip it over and get it to the right spot. Anyway, you had to wait. Taught me patience. I'm such a patient guy. Anyway, I digress. We don't have time for this. We don't really know how to wait today. I can't believe, God, that you don't work as fast as the drive-thru at McDonald's. God sometimes just wants us to wait, to be still, to speak to us if we, he will speak to us if we just stand long enough, if we just wait, so that we can hear him. Well, we can't wait any longer, so we need to go to point number two. The second thing that Jeremiah says here, or the Lord says through Jeremiah, stand by the roads and look. Look is the second word that I want you to see. The Hebrew word for look, it literally means to consider. That's what he wants you to see. Sometimes we are so eager to see what God's will, sometimes we're so eager to see what God will do that we fail to see what God is doing. Because we're anticipating what's going to happen tomorrow, but why don't we see the things that are happening around us? We miss God's direction for today. Look around you. Look around you in your life and notice what God is up to in the present. Don't always be thinking forward, because God speaks in the here and the now in everyday simple ways. And I mean, I get it. I want to see the big supernatural things. I want to see those things happen. Because when God works in supernatural ways, it's a wonder to behold. But those things are few and far between in today's world. But God is still working if we just see it for what it is. God works through the natural. I mean, we already have the Bible that speaks loudly. There's a story in Acts chapter 16 about how Paul and his companions were traveling through the region of Phrygia, and they got to Galatia. They were on their way to Asia Minor. And it says there in Acts chapter 16 that the Holy Spirit kept them from moving on to the rest, into the rest of Asia Minor. Why do you think that would be? Let me just take a stab at it. In my opinion, it was because the purpose of their journey was to share the gospel. And apparently, the people in Galatia needed to hear the gospel. And so the Holy Spirit said, no, Paul, you're not going any further. I mean, it seems a mystery to us until you read Paul's letter to the Galatians, because he says in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 13, he says this, you know it was because of a body ailment and illness in some versions that I preached the gospel to you at first. So in Paul's missionary journey through Phrygia and Galatia, Paul thought that Galatia was just a pit stop on the way to better things in Asia Minor, but it wasn't a pit stop to God. And what God determined was, in order to sideline Paul and redirect his steps, I know this is challenging because there is a portion of the Christian church, quote unquote, that believe that Christians should never get sick. Well, the Bible says that God provided an illness for Paul to make him stop, to redirect his steps. God actually used a sickness in the life of Paul to sideline him in Galatia so that the people of Galatia would hear the gospel. So what I'm saying here, by extension, or in other words, is this, that God uses practical, everyday things to direct your steps and direct my steps and to provide him with glory. To God be the glory for what he did in the life of Paul for the sake of the people in Galatia. I shared that story with you a long time ago about, not a long time ago, this past couple of years, I guess, about that time that I was heading to that that party in high school, and I had to go up this hill, and I got stuck, and who comes along but my dad, and he helps me get unstuck, and he just said, maybe you should just come home, and I did. And it was a good decision, because there was some bad stuff that happened at that party. So God used my bald tires on my Dodge Aspen to keep me in place. God uses the everyday for his glory and for your betterment to direct your steps. So the next time you miss a flight or you get fired from your job or get hired from your job, you don't get accepted at that school, or you do get accepted at another school, or somebody breaks up with you, or you start seeing someone, whatever the case may be, here's what you should do first. Look at the situation for what it is in the present and ask what God is doing now, and ask how it pertains to his wisdom for your life. That's a great segue into point number three, because here's what Jeremiah says. Thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is. So the third word is ask. Ask for the ancient paths. The ancient paths and the good way that is mentioned here is a reference to the Torah or to the law, right? So God is saying you need to seek me and to inquire of me through my word. You need to rely on the reliable, timeless truth of Scripture, because it is always a dependable source of guidance, wisdom, and inspiration. Here's what we as the West End Community Church should be. We should be a people who are reading our Bibles. We should be searching the Scriptures to find everyday practical wisdom and advice from above. When you are at a crossroads, please hear me on this. If you hear one thing today, hear me on this. When you are at a crossroads, don't rely on your feelings. Don't trust your emotions. Don't make a decision when you're down or when you're angry. Turn to the Bible instead of your emotions as a reliable, never-failing source of truth and guidance. That is what God is saying through Jeremiah here. He's saying, ask for the ancient paths. Ask for the reliable truth that has been tested by time and survived the scrutiny of the skeptics over the generations. Because here's what is true. God's word is true. And it will speak to you and to me in direct ways or indirect ways. So I say to you, read your Bible, devour it, study it, meditate on it. I cannot stress this enough. We have to be good students of God's word, because his ancient paths are not out of date. They are reliable. They are not antiquated. They are not behind the times fables, as society would have you believe today. The word of God is counsel from God, the wisdom of heaven that gives us wisdom for our benefit. And so when you are at a crossroads in your life, when you feel stuck and when you feel confused because you've reached a point where your rational mind can no longer give you directions or answers, you know what you need to do? You need to turn to the one who can and consult the word of the Lord. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, it will be opened. Here's the last thing that I want you to see. When you have stood, when you have looked, when you have asked, then it's time to walk. Stand by the roads and look and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is, and walk in it. And you will find rest for your souls. We have to do what he says in order to benefit from it. This is really about obedience. That's what walking is. This is hearing what God says and then doing what God says. If we are just a receptacle of information, but we never apply it, you know what you are? You're a garbage can. It will do us no good. If a doctor gives you a prescription and you read the label and you read all the literature that they give you with it, you will be the first one to ever read all the literature that comes with the medication, but you never take that medicine, it's not going to do you any good. That's why James says in James chapter 1, do not merely listen to the word, but and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says. Proverbs 28, he who trusts in himself is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom is kept safe. So I say to you this morning what God is saying to us through the prophet Jeremiah, when you need to make a decision, when you stand at a crossroads, whatever that looks like for you, stand, look, ask, and walk. A number of Bible scholars actually believe that Jesus quotes part of Jeremiah 6:16 in Matthew chapter 11 when he says this, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is agrarian terminology. This should be something that you all connect with, because Jesus was speaking to a farming community. They would have understood what he meant. What he's basically saying to them and to us is that if you harness yourself to Jesus like oxen, like they're yoked together, And if you and Jesus are plowing the same field, life is going to be a whole lot easier walking with Jesus than just walking alone. It's not as burdensome with Jesus. It's not as wearisome with Jesus. Quite the opposite. When we walk with Jesus, when we obey Jesus, when we follow Jesus, when we do all those things, when we stand, when we look, when we ask, when we walk, we will find rest for our soul. And so I say to you, when I come to a crossroads, wouldn't you want it that way? I wouldn't want it any other way. I want rest. May Jesus help us to always discern from above the crossroads of life. Amen? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, man, it's good to be here this morning. And I thank you for what we've celebrated with Alicia, with Matt and Beth and Chase. And I'm just so grateful that we can be a part of your church and that we can look in your word. And I thank you for these people, Father. I pray that you would be with them as they go from here, as they go about another week. I pray that they would keep in mind your counsel today. Father, as they approach this week, I pray that they would stand. I pray that they would look. I pray that they would ask. And I pray that they would walk. And ultimately, Father, we just long for the rest that you promise for our souls. We give you the glory this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with me? Let's just close our service by reading Hebrews chapter 13. May the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. You're dismissed. Thanks for being here this morning.